Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears.
Hey, it's Peter Hostrasser here. And hey, I want to tell you something about how I am actually disrupting education. Yeah, I'm moving forward with portfolios on spikeview.com. If you head over to spikeview.com, basically what we're teaching our students to do is actually to create a skills-based portfolio around their interests, their passions, and what they're good at. It's called the strength-based approach. So basically what we do is we build up our students and have them understand what they're good at and what they're interested in by the time they leave our high school. But it doesn't stop there. It's a K through gray. So if you want your students to continue to build their strengths in this day and age where resumes are dying, and to show more and more about who they are, what they do, and they actually control all the data behind it, guess what? SpikeView is the place for you. Head over to spikeview.com, check it out. Let me know if you need anything, because I tell you what, I have used this with my own family and my students. Check out spikeview.com today. Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. Allie, how are you doing?
I am well and filled with sunshine. And, you know, this summer series, special summer series that we are dropping late summer into the school year, I think is really going to resonate with our listeners. And so I'm excited to dive in to something that we haven't really done since last summer when I started, which is talk to students.
Yes.
So I'm very excited.
So yeah, we have Patrick Kowalczyk here. Patrick, how are you, man? Tell me a little bit, tell everybody who you are and like where you are right now.
I'm Patrick, as Mr. H said. I was a student at Stagg High School for the past 4 years. If I had to give myself a description, I'd probably describe myself as someone who has really changed. And I know that people sometimes say that, like, you know, change isn't always good and all this, but I feel like from where I started freshman year to how I am now going into college, I'm two different people. And I feel like that's a good thing. I feel like I've adjusted a lot. I've gotten out of my comfort zone a lot. I've experienced new things. And whether or not they've had the best outcome, I feel like I don't regret anything, because it shaped me with how I am today. And I wouldn't change it at all. So
I love that. And not to mention, he's a huge Bears fan.
Big Bears fan, yes sir.
That, you know, I had to throw that out. So has been in a couple of my business classes. Well, our business classes, I should say. I didn't own them. We all owned them. Through junior and senior year, just some tremendous growth. And we'll jump into that. But, you know, for those, you're going to be the first up in our student series this year. I did it last year. Didn't have Allie with me last year. So I'm excited to have Allie with as co-hosting into this. You know, basically, you know, some of the things that we want to do here is kind of talk a little bit about, okay, so you just finished, you know, you're kind of in that, you know, basically about a month out. I think it was the 20th during this recording, but you're going to have the whole summer and, you know, talk a little bit about where you're going. But my first question is, you know, going through that entire experience, your freshman year through your senior year. You had COVID in there. If you had to give a 1 minute summary of that outside of the growth, and we're going to dive into the growth and where you grew, how would you explain it to your children later on in life? That's where I want to start.
If I had to describe my high school experience, it's one that I feel, and I know that it's unique for everyone, but I really think that like my experience with everything really changed my I guess my character now and my kind of like my perspective of looking at things. Going into freshman year, I was a very shy and collected person. I had a very small friend group. And I was one of those kids that kind of just went to school, came home, played video games all day, headed to bed, and just repeated. And I never wanted to do anything different. I felt like that's what kept me happy, and that's what, kept me going. And I think COVID really changed that a lot because that kind of gave me that sort of perspective of like, being home all day, being in front of a computer screen all day, and it was just like I needed to be out, in the world. And I think that's what kind of, I guess, awoken this like I want to be like more extroverted side of me. Because going into the junior year, it was kind of still similar because we were still coming out from COVID and everything. And then second semester in my junior year was when I took your entrepreneurship class, and that really opened up my mind. And especially like during the first week of that like 30-second speech that we did, I still have the video on my phone, and I still watch it every now and then, like if I'm going through my memories or whatever. But yeah, that's what kind of like sparked this like, you know what? It's not that bad speaking in front of people, making new friends, getting out of your comfort zone. Because at that point, I mean, I was thinking more of it logically rather than just like my school. Like I'm thinking about like, what is my future gonna look like? Like obviously I'm not gonna be sitting at home all day in my future. And like I think the earlier you kind of start realizing like what life has to offer, I guess. And how you're able to kind of step out of your comfort zone, try something different, find your passion in life. I think that's when you really start to, I guess, mature and start to, take off for your future. And that's what I did during my junior year. And then senior year was just like, more foundation with that, with the whole career internship course. And me, with my job at a retirement home and everything. I think it was a good like stepping stone, I guess, for my college, which is now coming up. So
I love that. How you can kind of pinpoint COVID as like a change agent. And like it's interesting because I have seen the opposite happen, with students, where COVID kind of deflated their balloon, or it wasn't such a wake-up call in terms of like, oh, I want to be out in the world. So it's interesting to hear your perspective with that and how you saw it, as wow, this isn't what I want to do all day is be stuck in besides junior and senior year in your classes with Peter or Mr. H, what experience or would you pinpoint as, where you really felt like it could be school or outside of school, really felt like you found a passion outside of that go to school, come home, play video games, repeat cycle?
I think that if I really had to pinpoint one specific event, it would definitely be when I first started working at the retirement home. It was one of those experiences where I was chilling in class with one of my friends. He worked in the retirement home, and we still work together. And this was a year and a half ago, and it was just like I don't know how it came across, but we were just having a conversation. He mentioned that he worked there, and I was just like, oh, this is the point of my life where, I just turned 16 and everything. People are getting jobs, people are making their own money. So I was like, okay, and I should probably start looking for one. And the retirement home is a 1 minute to 2 minute drive away from my house, so it's very local. So I figured, you know what? I mean, it's close by, and the worst that can happen is I work a couple times a week or whatever, make a little bit on the side, nothing crazy, right? And I didn't think anything crazy of it at the time. It was kind of just one of those things where just like, I need to get a job, this is close by, it works out, it's fine. And working in a retirement home for a year and a half now really gave me a different perspective on life and like how different people view and cherish their life. Because like for example, like these residents, they're playing bingo for a $5 jackpot. Like it's $5 and they're cherishing it like they won the lottery. And I'm over here complaining that I don't have this, I don't have that. And it's just like, I mean, and it is different and it is all based off of perspective, but looking at it how different like different age groups are and how different the perspective is really kind of helped me see it from a different view and seeing how grateful I am with everything I have and how like lucky I guess I am to have all that I do have. And working in a retirement home helped me kind of like find my calling of like helping people. I've never really been like that much of like a extroverted person, and working in this retirement home, getting to know a lot of the residents and seeing that like, you know, maybe just pushing, you know, their wheelchair around to help them out, or maybe helping them set up the, you know, themselves in the dining room so they can, you know, have a better, you know, eating experience, something like that, just being able to help someone knowing that it's a small little action, but they're going to remember it and it really does help them out. That's something that I felt like I need to pursue in my future, you know, whether or not, you know, I go into physical therapy or something else or whatever. I've been there for a year and a half now and I still feel the same way. I built connections with those residents, and just knowing that, you know, my support and my assistance is providing ease in their lives makes me feel, you know, like this is what I need to do in the future.
I think one of the coolest things, and Allie, you weren't obviously in the class, but we would have conversations about like the history that some of the residents would tell Patrick. And I always told him like, you should write a book because there's just so much history. And you know, I don't think even me when I was that age, I didn't really. You know, your elders, right? And you're like, oh, whatever, you know. But Patrick, you come with a really interesting perspective, and the stories that we told in the internship course, because we had a lot of conversations about what we were doing at work and you know, just the different things that were happening at work. And it just so happened that you are working with, you know, old people who have stories. And they're sharing their stories and such, which is incredible. So, yeah, that's I think one of my highlights of the year was hearing a lot of those stories, and just kind of you know reminiscing on my own like grandparents and things like that. And then you know in the school we had this opportunity of the internship class to have that opportunity to actually get credit for working. And you know, it just so happened that, you know, you're working in this area and now you're going into physical therapy. Can you kind of connect those two? Like, what is your route right now? And you know, what are the steps that you have taken since understanding physical therapy is something that you're interested in right now to learn?
I think that working in a retirement home and physical therapy go hand in hand because a lot of that is the same type of patient. Like a lot of what physical therapy is based off of is helping others, you know, if they have some sort of, you know, incapability of, you know, moving a muscle or some sort of pain or some sort of soreness to kind of help them ease that. And as you get older, that becomes a lot more prevalent. And working in a retirement home, well, I work as a server in a restaurant in a retirement home. So, and just seeing how some of the residents need a lot more assistance, being able to get up out of their chairs, or a lot of them are in wheelchairs because they can't walk anymore, and stuff like that. That kind of like also kind of showed me that I could continue my career in a similar field, like physical therapy, and being around the same people in the same environment, yet still had doing this thing of helping others and being able to provide assistance for those who need it. And whether that's not that's helping, you know, a resident sit down at the restaurant, or helping a resident, you know, being able to move their leg again, or maybe ease some back pain that they've had, or, you know, whatever. I think that connection honestly couldn't have worked out any better. And I think that the only reason why I want to go into physical therapy so much is because of this job. And I think that if I got a different job, maybe somewhere like a retail store or a restaurant, like a fast food restaurant or something, I don't think I'd be going down the same path because this job really kind of helped align my path for the future. So
What changes did you notice, or, when you got this job, your kind of outlook on your education, and, how did school change? Did school change, kind of that arena? Like, it's awesome that you had this outside of school experience, but did that then backhand? Because I've had students where junior year they get a job, and that can either enhance their academic focus or it can detract their academic focus. I've seen it both ways. So yeah, what was your experience then with school? Did it change? And if it did change, how did it change in tandem with your job?
like I said, I was always more of an introverted kid. Didn't like to get out of my comfort zone. Kind of just, like H likes to say, check the boxes and kind of just go with the flow. But I think working in this job and just being like, because in our restaurant we had maybe 60 residents total. So constantly being around those 60 residents and knowing that, they're going to be looking at you. They're going to be, maybe raising their hand, they're going to need some assistance or whatever. You got to be comfortable being able to step out there knowing that you're going to have to help someone. You're going to need to talk to people to take their orders and to get their drinks and to get their food and everything. So it working in that type of environment kind of helped me transition that into school. Being able to talk to my classmates who are around me, or whether it's in a group project, being able to feel more comfortable talking with other people, teamwork and this type of stuff. So I think that it did benefit me a lot for school as well. And then obviously, that carried on, into senior year as well. But this job was definitely a big, big turning point in my life and kind of like my value and almost and like my character and like my character development, honestly.
Did you see anything like in classes? Did you see like, let's say, in your PE classes, right? You were strength and conditioning, correct? In your senior year, did you start to take that like a little bit differently, like a little different, like more serious as a senior after, like looking into, wait, this is how this muscle works, or was that still just kind of like a detach from basically your job and kind of the path that you wanted to go post high school?
I think that was different because I played football during my sophomore year, and I think that's when I started realizing it. Because playing football, especially my first year playing football, and I was never much of an active kid, I would constantly be sore, whether it was shin splints or sore muscles or bruises or whatever, you name it. And kind of just seeing how to kind of heal from that. And doing these different stretches and going to the physical trainers and stuff like that kind of sparked an interest in me as well. And then once I got into this job, it was kind of like just even more. And then ever since my football season in sophomore year, I've been a lot more active in terms of playing sports. And whether it's in my whether it's at my school or just in my free time, as well as working out, and I work out a lot more frequently now. And with that kind of also, with the whole recovery process, if I do get injured, trying my best to, assist myself the best that I can, and if I need any additional, then I'll go somewhere else. But yeah, I think my strength and conditioning class kind of like, and especially more recently now, because I've been, I don't know what happened, but I got a really bad shoulder injury, which kind of helped. It's kind of like I couldn't lift for a little bit. And talking with my strength and conditioning coaches, he was a physical therapy teacher back in his day. And that's what he pursued in college. And talking with him, he gave me different exercises to do, helped me kind of loosen up my shoulder, and it's all good now. But that also kind of sparked an interest in me, and I became a lot closer with my strength and conditioning teacher as well, in terms of like physical activity and just understanding how physical therapy works and how the body works and stuff like
It wasn't some math test or English paper that really changed your life, is what I'm hearing.
No, definitely not. And like I think that tests are, I guess, beneficial, but there's definitely a lot more to school if you take the opportunity, And especially in the outside world as well, you know, just taking advantage of your opportunities and just understanding that, okay, you know, this is happening for a reason. How can I make the most of it? Rather than just pushing it aside and just thinking, you know, just checking the boxes, just making, you know, just making sure you're done. 'Cause that's kind of what I did with strength and conditioning. My junior year, I kind of was just like, oh, this is just a class that I need to take just to pass high school. But once I actually started like understanding the class, understanding working out, understanding the whole, you know, building muscle and everything, that's what kind of, you know, sparked more interest.
How did you do in math and English in the core classes? I mean, you know, what I think what we're getting at here is, you know, did you just like get by in those and get that checkbox? And then because you knew, like, you really did know, I mean, especially by December of your senior year, you were going to go into physical therapy, maybe even earlier. But you know, how did that affect like the checkbox classes that you had to get through?
Well, I was a lot more of a math nerd or math geek, whatever you want to call it. And English was something that I struggled with a lot more. I grew up in a Polish household. My whole family comes from Poland, and that's all I ever speak in my house, you know, with my parents and my grandma and whatever. So English wasn't really prevalent in my everyday life. It was more of just like I speak English in school, I speak Polish at home. And I think that's why English was kind of more difficult for me because I never like fully like I guess developed my and now I'm fine obviously, but in my younger days I wasn't
You
like
were fine before, dude. You're just learning a
oh
language.
well yeah but it's just like I was never that smart in English. I was always more of like a numbers guy, you know, and you know in math and everything, and my dad was the same way, so maybe I got something from him, I don't know. But I always found myself, you know, math was something that I never enjoyed, but I was really good at. And that really got put to the test in my junior year with calculus. I'm sure you remember this age, me telling you this story. I was always one of those kids who was just like, oh, it's just another math class, you know, I don't need to study for it. I'll do my homework, I'll do the test, I get an A on everything, you know, it's fine. And then calculus came around and my whole world got flipped upside down. It was one of those classes where just like you can't just expect to do the notes, do the homework, and you're fine, right? It was one of those classes where you genuinely needed to put the effort into it and study. And I found that out very quickly after I failed like my first three tests. And after that, I was like, okay, maybe I need to change something up. And that's where I kind of, you know, took more accountability for myself. But I don't in my younger days, like freshman, sophomore, and even part of my junior year, I was a lot more of that checkbox mentality, kind of just like school is one of those things where I just need to do just to get done with. You know, I come home and I can just do whatever I want. But I think entrepreneurship and then my job was what kind of sparked this, like, I need to start pursuing something different, you know, something that I want to do, something that I want to go into. You know, because it's and especially seeing how hard my parents, you know, work now. And I just knew that I don't want to be the same way. And I want to do something that I'm passionate about, something that I want to do in the future, and something that's going to be providing, you know, support for me and my family.
I like that you talk about a calculus being a class that, you know, the bar kind of got raised. You know, your current habits, school, you know, however you were doing school didn't work for you, your success rate, you know, decreased. As a chemistry teacher, chemistry is often a class that same thing happens in for many students. The calculus, and it's usually like pre-calc, chemistry, those are common ones, or calculus, where students kind of the rubber meets the road and they receive their first sense of maybe major failure. And it's not a bad thing, but for some students, they don't necessarily respond, it seems like you did, where you were like, oh, I'm gonna need to make some changes. I'm gonna need to do something differently. Can you talk about, like, you know, I'm sure, because I like as a teacher, I remember hearing these conversations where students would blame the teacher. They would look outward for all the reasons why they failed. And you're talking about a very inward reflection. So where do you think that comes from? And how did you even if it wasn't just calculus, but how do you see failure in your own learning experience?
I think that at the end of the day, you're only making excuses for yourself because you could look at the situation and blame everyone else, blame this, take no accountability for yourself. But what that's going to end up doing is just show weakness and show that you can't be responsible for your own actions, show that you can't take accountability for yourself. And I guess I kind of knew in that situation, like, I'm the one taking the class, I'm the one taking the notes, I'm the one doing the homework. If anyone's responsible for my failures and for my Fs that I'm getting on these tests, it's me. So at that point, I needed to kind of realize, like, what I've been doing, in the past years isn't working. I need to switch something up. And I took kind of accountability for myself. I got my own private tutor. I sacrificed more time for calculus. I told my friends I can't go out this weekend. I need to study for my test or whatever. You have to make different sacrifices, and at that point, you kind of have to also think about, is this going to be a one-time thing, or is it going to be something that affects you only today, or something that's going to affect you for the rest of your life? Because, like, I could always go out with my friends a different day, but if I fail this calculus test, I fail the class, and then that's going to affect me even more in my future. So at that point, it was one of those things where it's just like these little sacrifices are, I guess, feel bad in the moment, but knowing down the line, it's going to be worth it. And for me, it was because I ended up passing the class. I got a 4 on the AP test. I pulled through after failing like the first semester almost. But yeah, just kind of taking accountability for your actions and just understanding that like you're the one that's in control. Like you're the one that's in control of everything you do in your life for the most part. And once you understand that, I think that's when you kind of have a different perspective of understanding, I guess your true potential and understanding what you're able to do, and how you can improve off of certain failures that you've had in the past.
I'm going to ask you a tough question here.
Oh, God.
Can school teach that accountability?
No, I don't think it can, honestly. I've seen it personally. I have friends. I'm not going to call anyone out, obviously. I have had friends in the past who aren't able to, and who just assume that, you know what, I'm just going to put everyone, I'm just going to blame everyone. Everything has to work out in my favor because I said so, and all this. And it's one of those, it's just childish. And I think it comes with maturity and kind of just understanding the situation from a different perspective. And kind of just understanding, like, you're the one in control. Like, no one's controlling your calculus teacher isn't controlling your decisions. Your calculus teacher isn't telling you to stay up until 12 in the morning, playing video games or Call of Duty, whatever, or whatever. Like, that's stuff that you gotta make on your own. And the sooner you realize that, I think the better. And I understand that, some people it's easier said than done. And if I'm being honest, it took me a while to kind of understand that too. And I'm still figuring that out today. Everything is still, not as easy as I want it to be. But that's character development and kind of understanding, how everything in life it affects something else and how everything in life happens for a reason. And I think that whether or not people learn that the easy way or the hard way, I think eventually it's going to come around. But it's something where it's going to take time to figure out, and it's different for everyone. And my personal experiences are definitely going to vary, for everyone else, and their own experiences. But I think that's what kind of builds structure and accountability in your own like character.
Another tough question.
Right, what's up?
Okay. You just finished high school, you're going into college, and you have this really great, well-rounded, mature, very reflective viewpoint that I don't think many of your peers have, and it's really great to hear. So You're right. You just went through, what is called the traditional educational system. And, there are things that are good and bad about any system. And if there was kind of, ways that we could build it better and reach more students and more learners, right? Like if you don't think the educational system is holding people accountable, like, what are some ways and some ideas that you have? The sky's the limit here, right? Don't box yourself into what you've seen, but what would you dream up for a better educational system that could be better than even what you experienced?
I think a lot of it has to ha plays a part with the student. And I think that the reason why I'm the way that I am now is because I chose to be that way. Everything is a choice, you know. People can choose to pay attention in class, or people can choose to go on their phones. And at the end of the day, I mean, you could try, but you know, people are going to choose what they want to choose, and it's going to be difficult, you know, to hit everyone. But I think that a lot of the reason why students decide to go on their phones or decided, you know, not pay attention or whatever, I think the teachers are the ones that need to be more, I guess, engaging with their class. I know a lot of teachers who just come to school just to, you know, get done with it, just so it pays the bills. And I don't, like I said, I mean, I'm saying this from my personal experience and from what I've experienced with my teachers in the past. And like I said, I love a lot of my teachers, and I think all of them played a big part in my high school experience. But there are teachers who just don't care, and just, you know, just come to school, get their job done, and call it quits. And I think that's another reason why different, like this educational system isn't working, because that's what people expect. You know, H is different than that. You know, H was always one who was just like, if you're not going to do anything in my class, then I don't want you here. And he was very, I guess, in my very intimidating for me, I guess you could say, because he's one of those teachers where you can't just like just brush off what he's saying, because he will swear at you if he needs to, and he will get, you know, I guess, aggressive, if you want to say. And because to prove his point of this, like this is your life, you know, this is your experience, this is your future that you're talking about. This isn't just like, I mean, what's after high school, right? Sure, you check the box all through high school. Now what? You know, now you're stuck. And that's this is, and I think that's where this educational system falls apart, is because everybody sees it as one of those things where you just check off the box and just, and they don't apply it. And I think that's where I've struggled into my freshman and sophomore year, and that's where I kind of picked it up in my junior year, of knowing that, okay, I'm going to school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 9 months out of the school year, and like there has to be a purpose for it. You know what I mean? I'm not spending all this time in this building for nothing. And I think once students realize that, and then they start to pinpoint, okay, what can I do? I think that's when it's going to start to pick up. Like I said, you can't change everyone. You know, people are going to be more stubborn than others, and at the end of the day, it's their choice. And you know, whatever choice they make, that's up to them. And you know, you're not going to be able to hit everyone, but I think that's what's the most important thing here, is that like student to teacher passion for school.
What kind of learning moments did you remember the most? Like, obviously we kind of, I mean, we're kind of skewing it here, like, okay, a test, but you know, there are some tests where, you know, the journey, like you said, those tests actually changed you. Calculus is that punch in the gut math class, right? So like they did change the way that you actually, you know, started to see things. So you can't completely discount that. I'm just saying that out loud. You can't completely discount tests, but what are the moments that you would replicate even more in your, let's just stick with high school career, to see it across the board? And I know we're talking business, we're talking PE, physical education courses and things like that, but can you replicate even those into maybe the courses that the quote unquote state wants you to take, or you know, that are graduation requirements?
I think that's what the problem is that a lot of those core classes like science, math, history, is a lot of just like a teacher being in front of a board students writing down the notes. There's a test at the end of the week. You know, you got to study for it, and that's it. You know, and that's the problem, is that that's how all these courses are expected to be taught, and that's why nobody is taking anything from them, because, you know, every week looks the same. You come in, you sit down, you pull out your notebook, you write notes for 50 minutes, and you have a test. And it's just like, that's why it's so insignificant. That's why it doesn't work for a lot of people, because I know for me, I need to be a lot more engaging in a class. You know what I mean? And that's what we do a lot in entrepreneurship and career internship, are these different like group projects, speaking in front of people, going to those Moraine Valley for those DECA events and those, you know, those mock interviews and stuff like that. And I think that's what school should be about, is these learning opportunities and experiencing something new every day. And for a lot of those core classes, it's just not the case, you know? And I think that's why it doesn't work, because, the system expects, you know, all these students, oh, you know, you're taking your notes, whatever, you should be prepared. And I think that's why it's so boring. That's why kids hate going to school, is because they know it's going to be the same thing as yesterday and as yesterday and as, you know, the day, you know, the week before and the month before and everything. And it's just not intriguing. It's not fun, you know. And I think if it was a lot more like how our classes were, with entrepreneurship and career internship and whatever, I think that would have sparked a lot more interest in a lot of students, because they could kind of see, like, you know, it's different. You know, you walk into the class, you don't know what you're going to be doing. You know, you don't know if you're going to be speaking in front of people. You don't know if you're going to be doing a group project. You know, you don't know if you have, you know, whatever. And I think that is what would maybe frighten some students. And if it does frighten you, you could choose to let it affect you negatively, or you could look at it as a challenge and something that you can, like an obstacle you can overcome. You know, try speaking with that person, you know, try interacting, you know, with, you know, your teacher or your class and everything. And you know, whatever happens, you know, let's say you embarrass yourself, who cares? You know, you tried something new, you stepped out of your comfort zone. And I think that little experience is far more valuable than, you know, hours of just sitting and taking notes.
I don't know. What do you got, Allie? I mean, I'm going to go final thoughts here, just to kind of wrap up. What do you think?
If you had to go back and give your past freshman self one piece of advice, what would you go back and say?
One thing that I wish that I kind of understood more was this idea of being taken advantage of. I think that played a big part in my character development now, because I did have a past relationship throughout my high school years. And she made me realize, like, you know, there are people who, they might not see it, but they, you know, they will take advantage of you and expect, you know, you to always be by them and expect you to help them out with their problems. And then when you need them, they disappear. And I think that's what I've learned from a lot, is these past, either with my relationship or past friendships that I've had in the past. I think once you cut out the people that are dragging you down in your life, and you focus on surrounding yourself with people who are going to bring you up and understand this idea of, you know, there are people in the world who are willing to help you. There are people in the world who are willing to, you know, be by your side and to help you out through any obstacle or challenge you have. And to just let go of the people who are constantly bringing you down, you know, whether or not it's going to affect the friend group or whether or not it's going to hurt their feelings or whatever. It's, if it's in the best interest for you and it's going to help you out, I think that's really important. And I didn't realize that throughout my freshman, sophomore, even my junior year, even now. But, you know, that's what I'm, you know, that's one thing that I would have told my past self a while ago, is just to cut the people out that are not doing you any good. It all builds, I think it all builds character. And honestly, I know that I say I would change, you know, that, but I don't have any regrets with anything, whether it's my relationship or my friendships or my high school experience or whatever. You know, could have, would have, should have, you know, you can't change the past. You can only look for the future. And I think that's what's the most important.
I think, Patrick, you're more mature than I am right now.
Well, I mean, it's like it's it took a while, Age. You should have seen me freshman year. Oh my God, freshman year was
You
I
the
was
butterfly.
I was lucky enough to actually been there and see it for at least 2 years. So yeah, Allie, any final thoughts on that? Because I think he summed it up there, but that was yeah.
He absolutely did. I think there's so many takeaways in this episode that current high school students, graduating high school students, teachers, educators, they need to hear this episode. And just there's lots of gems to be guided here. I think one of the things that you touched on that just really kind of struck me is a lot of the lessons that you learned in high school were ones I learned in college and post college. And so it's for whatever reason, the you were able to kind of get that bird's eye view of life much earlier than many. And it's a real, like, it's inspiring, and it will serve you so well in that perspective piece that you mentioned. Having perspective, gaining perspective is invaluable. And I hope many people hear this episode so that they can maybe have less introspection and more like outrospection of the world, because I thought you really brought that to this episode.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, how can people connect with you, man? Are you on LinkedIn yet? Or are you
I'm
no?
not on LinkedIn.
Not
If you
yet?
need
Okay.
anything, hit my email, patrickwalchuk84 at gmail.com.
Got it.
Put it in the link in the description, H.
You know it. You know it. And
So,
we look for amazing things for you headed to Lewis. Is that correct?
sir. Yes,
Yeah,
sir.
and physical therapy. And thanks again, man, for having a conversation with us
Yeah, no
about your
worries.
experiences and just being really candid and honest about it. That's what
Sure.
makes education and people in general better.
Yes, sir.
All right,
Appreciate you.
for Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Disrupt Education Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.